Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 206 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return to discuss the Las Vegas Grand Prix, the second Las Vegas Grand Prix in its official capacity, I suppose. It ended up being a pretty decent GP weekend. We saw a lot of kind of interesting racing and everything like that. But of course, as always, first of all, Jamie, how are you doing, sir?
I am very good, thank you. If you haven't seen the news or the race, obviously go and watch that. But yes, we're going to go straight in with a spoiler that Max Verstappen won the championship.
It's not really a spoiler, is it? We kind of all knew it was going to happen pretty soon.
We did. Brazil was what clinched it, but yeah, very, very happy. Title number four, which I like to get it straight in the door because I've already been told by a few friends that it's title number three. So, classic.
I mean, I'd argue it's title number one.
Yeah, he wasn't handed this one by Johnny Herbert in Parc Fermé, so does it really count?
Exactly. Well, he didn't win it in a sprint race either. Well, actually, to be fair, Jamie, he doesn't actually get this one for the one very simple rule.
What, he finished fifth?
No, because Hamilton and Button won their title.
Well, yeah.
It's actually the very simple rule of obviously what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Great.
So he doesn't get to keep it.
He's Vegas champion only.
Exactly. Yeah. He's wiped out from all other championships this year.
Great. But yeah, we'll get into it. It was a good Grand Prix weekend. 6 a.m. was a bit brutal, but.
Hang on a minute. We said this last week that we don't mind the 6 a.m. starts.
No,
we can't now pretend that we hate them.
I don't hate them. I just should have gone to bed earlier. That was the problem.
What time did you go to bed?
Like half midnight, like an idiot.
What? Why? Why? Why?
I don't know.
That makes me hurt just thinking about it.
It wasn't the best idea.
I can't remember the last time I would have stayed up past midnight. Not because I'm an old man or anything. Just I don't do anything fun.
Well, that means you are an old man.
Fair enough. Okay.
So let's move on.
let's just. I mean, we ended up luckily recapping pretty much everything we wanted to last week, didn't we? In the end, after there was so much news that came out the morning after we recorded the podcast the week before, then it seemed like there was not any other particularly major news to kind of catch up on throughout the rest of the weekend or heading through the rest of the week into the weekend. But pretty quickly, Jamie. I think no one really predicted it heading into the weekend, but very, very quickly, one team kind of proved themselves to be quite a dominant force.
Yeah, and we had a bit of a throwback to the 2010s with Mercedes, just absolutely rapid. And they topped every session on, is it Thursday night and Friday night? Practice happens in Vegas, I guess.
I mean, spoiler alert, they topped every session all weekend.
They did. But yeah, practice especially. Well, Lewis Hamilton was quickest in FP1 and 2, wasn't he? And then couldn't really tell you why, which is always a good sign. And yeah, that Mercedes is either like a castaway fourth quickest or the fastest by a mile. That's it. There's no in between.
By a mile is a little bit strong. I mean, to be fair, actually, you say that, Jamie. There is a pattern forming with the exception of Belgium, if I'm not mistaken.
It's cold, isn't it? It's a cold.
They've taken pole position, obviously, at Silverstone and Canada. The Mercedes just works its tyres in a way that really works in cold conditions. Because, obviously, Pirelli forced the tyre pressures up, and for some reason, Mercedes don't struggle anywhere near as much as anybody else because of that.
So it's high-speed, cold conditions. That's what Mercedes like.
So it wasn't even the high-speed nature of those circuits, because obviously all the other high-speed tracks, they haven't been that great, with the exception of Belgium.
Yeah, I guess. But then they've all been warm, so...
Yeah.
Is there any cold, low-speed tracks? Not really, are there?
I was going to say Barcelona, but not anymore, because that's in the middle of June.
And that's not cold either, yeah.
I'm trying to think. Brazil?
There's not that many low-speed tracks
Yeah, Southern Hemisphere. There just aren't really anymore, are there? I don't think there are. I mean, you don't really get many cold Grand Prix, do we? Maybe Suzuka, no. But I don't really... I mean, that's high downforce, isn't it?
Yeah, but regardless, they were very quick.
They were, and it was kind of one of those things where I saw that on Friday morning. I was like, oh, this won't last. And then it kind of just did, very oddly.
Yeah.
Like we said, Mercedes didn't really know what was going on with it, but they... I think once you kind of look at the data, you kind of go, I suppose that does make sense. But what was easily way more fun than that was the fact that Red Bull somehow brought the wrong rear wing to Vegas. Yes. They packed the wrong one, which is quite funny.
Which is hilarious, and someone's going to be losing their job over that. But yeah, because this kind of thing is all done well in advance, like months in advance. You've got to put all the shipping tags and make sure all the parts get put in the right boxes and end up at the right place. Because yeah, for parts like rear wings, front wings, in the middle of a triple header, they won't use the same one they used in Brazil, for instance.
Unless you're Red Bull, apparently. Or well, maybe HRT. That was the error. Did you ever know this about HRT in 2012?
What, they only didn't have any spares, did they?
Well, they didn't have any spares, but they also had no separate like wings or anything. So they used exactly the same car at both Monaco and Monza.
That is funny. That is very funny. It doesn't surprise me at all. They were a joke.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, quite amusing. But yeah, the rear wing thing was so funny. We ended up with a speed comparison, like a lap comparison chart on a Red Bull versus Sauber on social media. That was very fun.
Yeah, Sauber faster throughout a lot of the lap.
Yes, and Red Bull were losing, what, 6/10 on the straight lines?
Something like that, yeah. No, I think that was just on the strip, wasn't it? They were 6 tenths down.
Yeah, so they took a saw to it overnight, basically. And then the rest of the weekend, Max had these big dints in his rear wing where they just took some of it straight out, which can't have been the best for the aerodynamic efficiency, but it made it faster on the straights, so why not?
Yeah, and I mean, he did end up... I think, to be honest, Red Bull kind of always knew this wasn't going to be a particular... I mean, they probably should have known going into the fact that last year they weren't really the fastest car here either. Ferrari, obviously, this circuit worked well for them. For kind of the same reasons it's worked for Mercedes this year, and they were just able to warm up the tyres much better than anybody else could. But I think Red Bull, let's be fair, since really Barcelona, with a couple of exceptions, Red Bull really haven't obviously been... If they've been the fastest car, it hasn't been by much in pretty much all of those GPs. Occasionally Max has helped that, but I think Austria still is often overlooked, for that car was definitely still the best that weekend.
I'm not sure.
Red Bull, he took pole by half second. Like, that is definitely the car.
But he's an Austria
specialist.
Not just
the driver. Yeah, but so's Lando, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. But then the fact that Renard was able to haul him in the race was pretty impressive.
Well, it was Red Bull poor management and poor pit stop, wasn't it, that really helped him. As we got into qualifying, though, Jamie, there were some surprises, there were some not surprises. And immediately in Q1... the big shocker was that Zhou Guanyu saw Q2, which I didn't think he was possible of.
He saw a good Q2 as well. He qualified 13th, 12th.
Wow.
Good stuff. He out-qualified Bottas, so we'll take that.
He did.
And, yeah, that meant that there was a new driver on the back row, which...
I knew it
was Lance Stroll.
It was Lance Stroll, so not really new. He's the only man that could end up being slower than Sauber. Although, admittedly, this weekend, it wasn't really his fault. He had an ERS failure in free practice 3, didn't he? So the team literally only got him out for one run right at the end. And I'm sure they would have been just... You know, like that meme of Gordon Ramsay saying, "You're an idiot sandwich." I'm sure they were just doing that with him, going, "Do not stack the car."
Yeah, do not crash. But yeah, he and his teammate Alonso both out in Q1. Aston Martin have fallen off a cliff in the last year and a half. Joined by Sergio Perez, which isn't even a shock at this point.
I mean, it was so little of a shock, I'd forgot it happened.
Did you know that Sergio Perez in 2024 has more Q1 exits than Max Verstappen in his whole Red Bull career?
That doesn't surprise me. Crazy. How many Q1 exits does Max have in his F1 career? It'll be won't it?
It's about 5 or 6, and Perez has had 6 this season. But
yeah, that seems about
that's
right.
That discounted Toro Rosso, I think.
So
there were probably a few in 2015, but not many because they weren't that bad. And
no, Toro Rosso actually had a very good car in 2015, didn't they?
I wouldn't say very good. They were all right.
They were pretty close to Red Bull throughout a lot of the first half of the season, weren't they?
Yeah, Red Bull was shocking. That wasn't because Toro Rosso were good.
That's what I mean. In comparison to Red Bull, it was my point.
Yeah, fair enough.
It was 2008 reincarnated.
And Albon and Bottas will join them in Q1 exits. And Albon losing to Colapinto again for, the third time in qualifying?
Yeah,
after
I believe
whitewashing his teammates for almost 2 years.
Yep, the stat padding was in fact insane. Yeah, I think it's been a weird one, hasn't it, with Colin Pinto? Because, again, he's still a little bit of an unknown quantity, so we don't know just how good he is. But, yeah, he does definitely feel like Bottas. Albon, even. It's going to be critical that he is at least pretty much on, at least close to Carlos Sainz, sorry,
Carlos
next,
Sainz
year.
Next year.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I think he'll lose. Give that as a heads up.
Yeah, probably. But it's how much he loses by, I think, is the more awkward thing for Albon.
Mm.
Colin Pinto, though, he would again be the talk of Q2, though, wouldn't he? Because he would have a rather hefty shunt, a 50G crash, which is quite impressive based on how slow that part of the circuit is.
Yeah, but he did find two concrete walls, which is never good in a Formula One car. No tech pro, no tyres or anything. It was a pretty rookie error, to be honest, just turning in too early.
Which is okay, because he's a rookie.
Yeah, so these things happen, but it is the third big crash that he's had in less than two race weekends. Because you have Brazil quali, Brazil race, and this quali session, obviously. So those Williams mechanics are working overtime at the minute, and they better be getting a nice little Argentinian wine for Christmas. From
is Argentinian
Franco.
Wine any good? I know,
yeah,
it's.
It is.
Is it? Fair enough. I'm not much of a wine expert, unlike Jamie, apparently.
Yeah, no. but yeah, Williams have. Well, they were getting into the weekend. After Brazil, they were like, we're almost out of parts. And then Colin Pinto's ruined a whole other set of parts.
But he does bring in that Argentinian money, so it's okay.
Yes, yeah. So those shirt sales in Argentina will be paying for the chassis repairs.
But it did make me laugh, because I saw the amount of tweets I saw, obviously, when they posted the footage of that crash going, oh, Williams need to make the car more drivable. He's turned into a concrete wall.
Yeah.
It's not about the car drive. It's not that he's had massive oversteer into that wall. He's just turned in too early.
In fact, if the car understeered more, he would have missed it. So
exactly.
If the car was
worse to drive, it would have saved him.
Exactly, and that brought out a red flag. Actually, not immediately, but nobody complained about it this time because it didn't affect Max Verstappen. Because Gasly, actually, I noticed, went through to Q3 after the yellow flags were out already. But the red flag wasn't out yet, so it was fine.
He was ahead, though, wasn't he?
He was ahead, yeah, so he didn't go through the yellows.
Yeah.
But
you know red flags can't get called automatically, don't you?
No, it has to be someone's actual input.
So, no, they cannot automate a red flag procedure, because, of course, if something bizarre happened and it automatically flagged one, would be a big issue. So it always takes a few seconds. But, of course, obviously, at the end of a session, and in local yellows right at the final corner, it was only Gasly that could get through anyway. Apparently Liam Lawson got absolutely screwed over by it. And then I saw the onboard from him getting a huge oversteer moment into the corner beforehand, so he'd already messed himself up, but was trying to
blame
that.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't have gone through anyway. But yeah, we had the red flag, which ended the session shortly, so Kevin Magnussen, Joe Guan Yu in P12 in a Sauber. That's worth shouting about. Esteban Ocon, Colin Pinto 14th, but obviously was going to be starting in the pit lane, if at all, which he did. And Liam Lawson 15th out with him, so yeah. Got Hülkenberg in Q3, classic, as well as Tsunoda and Gasly, and then the usual suspects minus Sergio Perez, who's not actually a usual suspect.
I was going to say, he's not a usual suspect, is he? Moving into Q3, though, Jamie, we kind of were all hoping it was going to be a battle of the Mercedes, didn't we? Or at least I did. And then Hamilton, once again, I don't know what happens to Lewis in Q3s, what
you
Mercedes do
pressure.
To that car. Oh yeah, 103 pole positions.
Every close title fight in, he's either got lucky or lost. So,
hey, and he worked that one out.
Every close title fight he's been in, it went down
every
to
wait, so one of the ones he's dominated, it's either gone one way or the other.
He's either got lucky or lost, because he was going to lose 08.
Lucky,
Timo Glock.
I'll behave.
And then he lost in 16. He lost in 12. Lost in 10.
Lost in 12? He was never in the title fight in 12. He should have been. But McLaren were useless.
But Nico Rosberg just handled the pressure better in 2016. So,
okay.
You know.
Okay.
There you go. Shelf life FC.
Hamilton actually got put out in a bad position on his first run.
And then locked
up
and
spun.
He did
then make a mistake. And locked, he didn't spin. He just locked up.
Well, he
up
spun
and
it round
out.
To get, yeah.
No, he spun it round on purpose. Slightly different. But yeah, actually, Jamie, my prediction for a Carlos Sainz pole was almost bang on, wasn't it?
It almost was, I encouraged you to go for that, and then almost screwed myself over.
Yeah, you did, which is quite funny.
But yeah, George Russell took it back by a tenth at the last, which he looked favourite all throughout qualifying, to be honest, especially when Hamilton took himself out of the running. Russell got pole position in that rapid Mercedes. And then his engineer, said the weirdest thing on the radio. I don't know what Zubabar means, but there you go.
I assume it's a Vegas term.
It could be, but yeah, George Russell loves a weird radio message, doesn't he? So, to celebrate.
He's a cool guy.
He's very, very cool. And yes, I'm looking at race notes. That is not who qualified second.
No, it is not. Carlos Sainz big shocker.
Qualified second.
Carlos Sainz did qualify P2, but easily the best one was Pierre Gasly.
Yeah.
And I don't get how so many people didn't notice this, but it was just in his positioning on the road. He had so much slipstream, it was insane. He
got a
mad
slipstream.
Exactly.
But fair play. And the fact that Verstappen and Norris and Leclerc had already completed their laps, and then Gasly went second. It was like, what the heck is going on?
Gasly out-qualified the top four in the championship.
Yeah.
Which is has usually been, the eighth or ninth fastest car this year? Probably eighth fastest, Williams.
Probably eighth on average,
a bit lucky. And then Alpine got incredibly lucky. The fact that Alpine, like we were talking about this yesterday, if had Max not made his way through Brazil, we could have had five teams with a 1-2 finish this year, is absolutely insanity.
Yeah, mental. That actually takes us onto our quiz, which I'm going to put in here.
Oh, you're going to segue here? This is a very early quiz.
Because you mentioned teams getting 1-2 finishes.
Yes.
Spoiler, Mercedes got one.
They did.
Which makes it four teams to get a 1-2 finish in 2024.
Yep,
that's the year.
Is that my quiz? I've just got to guess which year this is.
No, it's not. But eight teams on the F1 grid have scored a 1-2 finish ever in their history. So I'm going to help you out because I'm going to give you, if you need it, the races of their most recent 1-2 finish. And you've got a name. Who else was on the podium in those races?
No. Okay. So I'm sure we don't have a time limit for this.
No, there's no time limit.
Okay, so that was Carlos Sainz.
Correct. Second most recent was Ferrari.
Which was Kota?
It was.
Was that... That was Max.
It was. Max Verstappen, third place. Next, it was McLaren.
That was at Hungary, wasn't it? Or have they had one since then?
Yes, it was Hungary.
That was... Was that Charles?
Try again.
It wasn't Lewis, was it?
Yeah, it was. Lewis Hamilton.
Oh, it was Lewis.
He got four podiums in a row, didn't he?
Yeah, I forgot about that, yeah.
Red Bull was the next most recent.
Where was that Shanghai? Oh, no, that was before Shanghai, wasn't it?
It was Japan, 2024.
Yes. Was that Lando?
No. This is going worse than I expected.
Was it Charles?
Nope.
No? Carlos?
Yes, it was. Okay. Carlos Sainz. The next most recent is actually Sauber.
Oh, yeah, 2008. Canada.
Yes.
That's mad, isn't it? Oh, he was on the podium with them there. Obviously, wouldn't have been Lewis, wouldn't have been Kimi, wouldn't have been Nico Rosberg.
Not that you got one podium anyway that year.
He did, just and that was point, Australia.
Tell it. Yeah. Oh, my alarm's going off. Oh, no.
Nope. Was it Massa?
No, Massa got disqualified.
Oh. Well, I thought that was 07.
Oh, that was 07. It wasn't Massa.
Yeah, I was going to say. Was it Kovalainen?
No.
No?
I'm going to put you out of misery. It's one of our favourite quiz answers ever.
It's not David Coulthard, is it?
It is David Coulthard.
Oh, I thought that was... Because I was going to say DC, but I thought that was 2007 for some reason.
Maybe he got a podium both years.
Maybe.
But yeah, DC... No, it wasn't DC the year before. That was Heidfeld and Wurz, wasn't it? In 07 with Hamilton.
Fair enough. Yes.
Alpine is the next most recent.
Which would have been somewhere in 2006.
Malaysian Grand Prix.
Was it Schumacher?
No.
Was it Massa?
No.
Was it Raikkonen?
No. Oh, dear.
Was it Montoya?
No.
Was it Jenson Button?
It was Jenson Button.
Yes!
You're currently on three out of seven. No, out of six, sorry.
Oh, I didn't realise I was getting scored like that. I just thought I was having to
Williams.
Get
him. Williams in 03, French.
Oh, was that Schumacher?
Yes.
Hey!
And the last one, Aston Martin.
Oh, there's one more. Aston Martin. Oh, God, this would have been like in the late 50s, wouldn't it?
No, in 98, Belgium. As Jordan.
Oh, as Jordan. Sorry.
It wasn't
Schumacher. Yeah. I was going to say, it's not David Coulthard again, is it? But I don't think it was.
Well, he got binned off by Schumacher, didn't he?
Oh, he did, didn't he? Yeah. wasn't Hakkinen. He was already gone.
Yep.
Was it? It wasn't Irvine, was it?
It wasn't Irvine. I think this guy drove for Sauber, if that helps.
Was it Herbert?
No.
No? No, he was
did drive
Stewart
for Sauber.
At that point, I think. Yeah. He did drive for Sauber. I've got to try and name the 1998 Sauber lineup.
Sauber lineup, yeah.
I'm trying to think, because obviously I did a 1998 F1 Carrera, but I don't know exactly how perfect the driver moves were. Oh, that's going to annoy me. Wasn't a Lacy or something
it
like that?
It was a Lacy.
No, it was a Lacy before he went back to Jordan.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That.
There you go.
That.
Fun quiz. You did worse than I thought.
That is a fun quiz. Fair enough.
But yeah, what, four? I'll give you 5 out of 8 for a Lacy.
Thank
again.
You.
That's a
Thank
good
you.
Good answer.
Well, I'll take it. I'll take it. Let's get into the Grand Prix, though, Jamie. because it was a weird, because people have loved this race. And as we've both said, it was a quintessential ground effect era race of there was a fair amount going on. But it was all kind of seemingly fairly predictable in its nature.
Yes, there was nothing that unexpected going on at all.
Apart from Kevin Magnussen and Liam Lawson on lap one, battling and not taking each other out, which is
incredible.
Yeah,
how that happened. And then they did it later as well, going through that same section with an extra
they
car
did.
And still didn't take each other out. That was actually quite impressive. But
it was very impressive.
Yeah, the start was fairly straightforward. Charles Leclerc got into P2. And then immediately put the pressure on George Russell. By lap 4, he was all over the back of him, but cooked his tyres. Like, absolutely ruined his tyres within about, 10 laps?
Within about 6 laps. It was much earlier than that, because by lap 10, he pit.
He did, yeah. So Sainz jumped him. Max jumped him. Then Max actually got past Sainz as well. And they're like, oh, well, that's the title done, isn't it? McLaren,
we didn't mention this. McLaren were just nowhere all weekend, were they?
Yeah, they were just the third fastest car, probably.
Fourth.
Well, if you take the teammate average, then Red Bull was definitely slower.
Yeah, and who takes Perez as the teammate average anymore?
Yeah, it was not good. So that kind of took all the tension away because Max had already qualified ahead of Norris. And after lap one, when Max is ahead, you're like, oh, well. That's that then, isn't it? So there was no kind of tension of will he, won't he win the championship?
Oh, yeah. And especially with the reliability and things like that. You know, it was just kind of nothing was good. Well, we say about reliability, of course. The one engine manufacturer...
Failure.
That wasn't a reliability failure. That was they built the car wrong, to be fair.
Yeah, true.
But I mean, we did have one mechanical failure, didn't we? Pierre Gasly, who, after telling the team he had no power, they said there was nothing on the sensors as they cut to a shot of his engine pluming smoke at the final couple of corners.
Yeah, and that was a real shame because he was still running, sixth place?
He was going to be a really depressing afternoon, though. He was going to drop down to, eighth or ninth by the end.
Well, he would have had a chance to be in that Tsunoda-Hulk battle, probably.
Yeah,
But yeah, sad for him that he didn't get the chance to fight in that place. But his teammate actually invented his own pit stop. So that was quite fun.
He did, didn't he? Which is hilarious.
He basically gave himself a drive-through because he had a miscommunication. So that was Alpine's high from Brazil was absolutely bought crashing down.
In the most Alpine way possible, that it was a mechanical failure and a strategy blunder.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they are basically Ferrari, just with less money and prestige, aren't they, Alpine?
And success,
The cars blow up more. They're just as bad on strategy. They're a works team that's just useless.
And they're meant to represent a country, but it's a worse country, so...
Yeah, is France a worse country than Italy? Remind me where your parents live.
Yeah, but Italy's better, for sure.
Is it? Okay, fair enough. Yeah, well, I suppose
French viewers have gone. If we actually have any French viewers,
there's not a chance. We may as well back the Italians here. We're not a chance we have a French viewer. We got interested in them, didn't we? Because it was kind of the toss-up between whether it was going to be a one-stop or a two-stop strategy. And then pretty much by half distance, everyone had worked out, because the mediums or the softs just didn't... It was all mediums, wasn't it? Apart from Alonso at the start. Perez. And Perez, who went on hards. But everyone kind of realised that the mediums could do about 15 laps and the hards could do about 25. So it was kind of everyone worked the first two sets of tyres too hard. So it was just everyone went to hards for the second half of the race. But we did get that bizarre moment with Carlos Sainz, which I've got no idea how he still didn't get a penalty.
Oh, I don't know. It was just weirdness all around that lap, because you had Sainz who's cooked his tyres a bit quicker than everyone else. Leclerc's right behind him. Hamilton's right behind the pair of him. He's worked his way from 10th. And they just ordered Sainz to let Leclerc through when he's got about 0.2 of a gap to put himself back into. He did manage it, which was very impressive, but it was just a bit unnecessary. And then a lap later, Hamilton's got him as well. Hamilton's pitting. No, it was the same.
No, this
lap.
Was instantly. Yeah, instantly. So they boxed, Hamilton was still behind him.
They box Sainz. Well, they don't. Sainz calls a box himself. And coming into the pit lane, they weren't ready for him, so he straight lines the last corner. And nobody ever mentions it. And on the commentary, they were like, that's a Stonewall pen.
Yeah.
And
in
my head, it is. The only one I can think of...
Apparently, though, it's not.
The only other one I can think of was Germany 2018 with Hamilton. But obviously, that was different circumstances because, like, they say in force majeure situations, which basically means if you, like, unexpected situations where you have no other choice, it's okay. And I guess if you take in Germany 18 as a precedent... It was, again, a miscommunication where they told him to box and then told him to stay out.
Apparently, the rule is... Because the other example that obviously people were given was, I think it was Tsunoda, wasn't it, in Austria a couple of years ago. Got, like, 3 penalties for cutting the pit lane entry line, didn't he? If you remember this.
Yeah.
Apparently, the rule is, obviously, on exits, it's always enforceable. Like, everywhere, it is just the rule. You cannot go outside the white line. Apparently, on entry, it's only if it's been noted by the FIA before heading into the weekend.
Yeah.
So, but I always thought as well, because obviously it was the big thing with Baku, wasn't it? Of there's an extra blue line on the pit lane entry line, which was only there to obviously to remind drivers they cannot go the other side of that line to defend and things like that. Because of course you could end up with an airplane crash, like we have at Baku. So Raikkonen got a penalty a few years
ago. He did, that was 2016, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was a long time ago.
It was kind of one of those ones where they were going. It's obviously everyone was there going, but it's definitely a penalty. And Ferrari went, it's not in the rules this weekend. And the FIA kind of had to go,
oh, yeah,
I guess we forgot to do that. So,
well, the
race
director
was
first day on the job, wasn't he? So maybe he just forgot to put it in the driver briefing.
Yeah, but it's something like that. You'd think, a track like last week, I mean, it's just a blunder by the FIA, isn't it? Because that should have been rule number one of the weekend, is you cannot go over the pit lane entry line to try and defend your position. Which is effectively what Carlos did in the end. But he did get away with it, and that's why.
Yes. Yeah. And that, for me, that's a Stonewall 5 second, but
it should have
no
been.
One complained, what, so whatever.
What's probably more fascinating about this is the fact that Carlos had been on the radio for, probably about 3-4 laps at this point, because he'd absolutely wrecked his tyres. And still Ferrari didn't have the pit crew ready.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Craziness. And they said, wake up, which actually woke me up, because by this point I was very tired. Yeah, that was bizarre. I mean, Hamilton got ahead anyway of both Ferraris with that undercut up to P2. I know, P3 at that point, wasn't it? Because Verstappen was still chilling.
Yes, yeah, he was still P3.
And then Verstappen just started dropping back. I don't know how he was P2 for so long, to be honest, but yeah.
Behind just the strategy worked out.
Yeah, behind the Mercedes of Hamilton. And then it was funny, 10 laps to go, he had both Ferraris closing down and he was the GP like, should I defend? And GP was like, yeah, you could.
If you feel like it, I suppose. Who really cares at this point, mate?
Yeah, exactly. And he knew what he had to do, was beat Norris, and that was never looking in doubt, really. Also, Piastri got a weird penalty for not being in his grid spot. But
yes,
from
did.
The outside, it looked like he was fine, but I guess...
Oh, no, it looked way too far forward to me when I saw
it.
Yeah.
I'll go back and look at that then. But it's a weird one. McLaren is not at it at all. They were just chilling in 6th and 7th the entire race.
They basically Mercedes and McLaren just swapped this weekend. Is basically what happened, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mercedes suddenly went to the best team on the grid. It looks like no one can get near them. And McLaren just went to close to the top three teams, yeah, but not quite.
Difference is Mercedes actually executed it.
Well, this is the thing. This is what
Mercedes
George was saying.
Mercedes still know how to win.
I don't know if you saw this after the race, but like George Russell said, Mercedes have had one less win than McLaren this year.
Yeah.
Which is mad to think about. And like you said, Mercedes, every opportunity they've had to win, and Austria, they've executed perfectly and taken it.
Yeah, because they're
McLaren
a serious,
obviously
well-run
just
team.
Don't. Well, yeah,
Mercedes spent 8 years winning relentlessly, so they know how to execute a Grand Prix.
Exactly. But they know as well, obviously. It's kind of that thing of, you know, Mercedes for them at the moment still, wins aren't going to come by every other week. They still have to roll the dice a little bit with it. And yet they still execute well. And McLaren kind of trip over themselves and do all this, that and the other. And I mean, McLaren have to go back to the drawing board over the winter is what they have to do, isn't it?
I mean, car design's great and driver lineup's very good. So they just need to get their race, like race management
almost. They've got all the important pieces there. It's just putting them all together, which is the difficult bit. Isn't it? Yeah. I mean, we had that wild move by Perez towards the end, didn't we? Down the inside of both Lawson and Sonoda. Lawson and Magnussen even.
Very, very good move. Don't know how it wasn't a crash. No idea.
Especially with Magnussen on the outside. I was expecting him just to turn in.
Well, you've got probably Perez and Lawson, as volatile as they are, whatever they get together, and Kevin Magnussen. That's a recipe for disaster. And somehow, it wasn't.
I mean, it's basically like having Coke and Mentos is Perez and Lawson. And just a stick of dynamite with Magnussen next to them is like the best way you can describe it.
Exactly. But yeah, Perez actually made a good overtake. I can't remember him making many. On a couple of B-class
cars. Yeah, it's a couple of cars that are like a second a lap slower. But still, for Perez, you got to take what you can take.
Exactly.
In what, in his own words, has been described as, I think, a suboptimal year, which is quite impressive.
I think it's a terrible...
He did say terrible, but... do you see Helmut Marko was there saying after the race, he was like, well, you know, factory workers won't get their bonus. It's not based on what Max does. It's based on the constructors. So they
so
can
the
all...
factory are going to lose their bonuses for winning the constructors because Perez is a slow driver.
Exactly. I mean, it just works out perfectly for Red Bull. They get more testing time. More wind tunnel time. And everything else. And they don't have to give out bonuses. They're already making enough money. Like, I'm sure Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes are profitable currently in F1.
Yes, easily.
That was the one thing we forgot, Jamie. We did forget one huge piece of news.
What was that?
GM are in.
Oh, yeah. Andretti. Not Andretti. Wait, they're called something
else. Not Andretti.
Else.
Definitely not Andretti. General Motors, which will absolutely be renamed again.
The Trojan horse thing. Where it's like, oh, we're just going to rename ourselves to a more credible company, and then they'll let us in, and then we're going to be Andretti.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happened.
Yeah.
Exactly what's
happened. It's a 26, isn't it?
Apparently.
And to be fair, the man who loves a scoop, Eddie Jordan, did call this on the Formula for Success podcast that I listened to last week. So he was ahead of the curve, got it right, just like he did when Hamilton went to Mercedes. Shout out
two examples in 12 years.
exactly. But that's good news. And Zhou Guan Yu might come back. Who knows?
Eh? Why?
Who's going to drive for Andretti?
I mean, they'll not put Zhou Guan Yu in the car, I wouldn't have thought.
Why not?
Because he'll get tariffed to drive, won't he?
Oh, yeah. Can't have those Chinese imports into American F1.
Exactly. Yeah.
That is, that's a good point. It'll be Logan Sargeant. Bring him back.
It'll be Cheeseburger McFry Face and Logan Sargeant in the car. Or something, I don't know.
Right, let's stop offending different nationalities. And, Nico Hülkenberg, very good race. Finished P8.
Stop offending drivers. Let's talk about Nico Hülkenberg.
Exactly, that's the next thing on the list. Because he has got Haas back into P6 on his own.
I mean, he hasn't on his own. Kevin Magnussen has scored points this year.
And Ollie Bearman has too for Haas.
He has, yeah.
But yeah, Haas are back up to sixth in championship because Hülkenberg spent 15-odd laps trying to get past Sonoda and finally did it with about three to go. So that made me very happy.
Sonoda, though, it would have been, what, Alpine on 49, Haas on 48, Vicarb on 48, which would be
wild.
And to
be honest, still really close.
Yeah, it could still go any direction.
Yeah. Yeah,
I just want to see Alpine finish eighth. Yeah, exactly. I mean, to be fair, P3 on the grid, Gasly would have beaten them both.
Gasly could have beaten them both. He would have been in that five, sure.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know if this didn't really get talked about into the weekend, Jamie, but Red Bull have now given VCARB a load of their rear suspension components, apparently, to try and help them out at the end of the year. No, they are allowed to do that.
Oh, well, fair enough. They might
as well. They've given them, pretty much everything they can do for these last few races they've given to them towards the end of the year. But anyway, yeah, George Russell, like we said, took the win. Absolutely dominant fact. I mean, we basically didn't see him after lap four, did we?
No.
Because he was just coming through out front. Hamilton was closing in on him, though, towards the end. Hamilton's race pace in the final stint was 0.8% faster than George, which is mad.
Yeah, but Russell had a 10-second lead, so he wasn't going to be pushing as hard, was he?
Yeah, but he was still surprised that Lewis got as close to him as he did in the end.
And Lewis would have won if he not messed up qualifying, for sure.
Well, exactly. Lewis did come through for P2, though, ahead of Sainz and Leclerc. Max in P5, like we said, fourth world championship, done and dusted. With Lando, Oscar Piastri, Hülkenberg, Tsunoda and Perez rounding out our top 10, Jamie. Who would you say was driver of the day? I think there's a few to shout out here.
Not Lewis Hamilton, who got the real one.
No, I'd say Lewis Hamilton is absolutely one that deserves it.
Well, he only was voted the real one because he messed up qualifying. I'll go George Russell.
I think George Russell is another one that I would definitely have to shout out. Hülkenberg. I think Hülkenberg, Tsunoda both deserve some credit. They were, very, very good this weekend. And I think, Zhou for his qualifying effort is worth a shout.
Yeah,
when did Zhou finish the race?
Zhou finished P13. So actually pretty good, to be honest. Yeah.
Fair play.
Are you going Zhou? Is this really happening?
I'm not going to say Zhou. I'm going to say George Russell.
Okay.
So I think George Russell is our driver of the day, isn't he, between us?
Yes, indeed. Race rating. It was.
Yeah, I might want to look.
I want to compare for the old ones. I would say.
I would say
6.5.
I was looking exactly at Mexico and thinking it was about as good as that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I might say a 7. Might have been slightly, but no, I'm going to say 6.5 as well, actually. Yeah. It's not one of our lower rated races. I mean, our best rated
race
this year was Silverstone.
It's very mid. Is it really Silverstone? Is that because of your bias?
No, you gave it an 8.5.
You put 9.5.
Yeah, but it's also the joint highest rating you've given a race this year.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just a Scrooge when it comes to race ratings. My word.
I think we both are, to be honest.
That's just Brazil got an 8. Brazil was class. Why did I not give it 8.5? All right. Well, what else? Predictions recap. We did terribly.
Well. What are the scores on the doors, Jake?
68 for me, 73 for you. So 5 points in it.
Yep.
I put Charles Leclerc on pole. Nope.
0 points.
Charles Leclerc, P1. Nope.
0 points.
Oscar Piastri, P2. Nope.
0 points.
And Max Verstappen, P3. Not a chance.
So you got 0 this weekend.
I got
That's not
big
helping
fat
you close
naught.
In.
You put Carlos Sainz on pole, which was
almost
only
bang
less
on.
Than a tenth off.
That would
Lando
have
Norris
wild.
To win the race. No.
Yeah, that one was a bit more inaccurate.
Charles Leclerc, P2. Not a chance.
Nope.
And you got 2 points for putting Sainz third.
Yes!
Despite him ignoring team orders to get that P3. Then why wouldn't he ignore team orders at this point
exactly.
in the season?
Why does he care?
And Leclerc fans are losing their minds on Twitter.
I've seen people
amusing.
Trying to say that they should drop him for the last two races. You know, why?
Who cares? It's the same number of points for the team. And if Leclerc finishes second or third, does anyone actually...
It's just another P2 finish in the Drivers' Championship he gets. Who cares? Exactly. So what does that mean? I've got a 7-point lead.
You're going to win.
Wow. There's only 18 points available.
My one tweet a year is going to be from you.
No, your profile picture is having Lance Stroll focus onto it.
That's I'm actually down for that, so I'll take that. I might throw just to get Lance Stroll on the profile picture.
Just make Lance Stroll your profile picture. It's real simple. Perfect.
Indeed.
Perfect. Have we got anything else to add, Jamie? I think we've rattled through everything.
We've done well. I need to go to work.
You need to go to work.
I say go to work. I need to turn my laptop on, which is right next to me. So
Fair enough. Thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure you leave a like. Get yourselves subscribed. And Jamie and I will be back. Well, it's going to be later on
this week.
We haven't even worked out when we're going to do it yet. ready for the Qatar preview.